What is up, y'all? Will here at Schedule Fly. Man, this is a cool episode, y'all. I will not forget talking to these guys, Wilson Brannick and John Murray at NoCo in Nashville, Tennessee. Their restaurant is just a couple months old. They've both been in the industry a long time. Both worked for Indigo Road Hospitality Group for Steve Ballmer, and learned a lot from him, and they've taking what they've learned from him and others in the industry and their own beliefs and philosophies into starting NoCo, and it's just crushing it right out of the gate. One of the big focuses of this conversation is on mental health and what they recognize as such an important issue for this industry and how they're solving for that. And now they're leading the industry and ahead of the curve with some of the things they're doing to focus on that. Which is why great people want to work for them, which is why they'll be successful. I mean, it's a simple formula, right? So, just could not have enjoyed talking to these two more. Cannot wait to get to Nashville in person. I was supposed to be there. We had a family health thing, so I couldn't go, but I will go to Nashville and we'll go hang out with these guys. And you'll know why when you listen to this fun episode. So, check it out. But before you do, check out this ad from our sponsor. And our partner at Schedulefly, Pop Menu. Pop Menu is all about making your day easier and your sales bigger. They will simplify your marketing operations, bring in more guests, and capture customer data for personalized remarketing to keep them coming back. With one super simple to use platform that integrates with most point of sales like Toast and Square and a number of others, Pop Menu starts with a beautifully designed, easy to update interactive menu that transforms the guest experience online. It includes a brand new website that's optimized for search engines like Google at no additional cost. Automated digital marketing, online ordering and waitlisting, and you'll never miss another call with their AI answering solution that costs as little as 47 cents an hour. Plus, so much more is in there. Check them out. Link in the show notes. I'll add this. We have a lot of mutual customers, and those mutual customers that I've spoken to have said, universally, great product, great customer support, great results, great company. Easy to work with. Check out Pop Menu and check out this episode with Wilson Brannick and John Murray, NoCo, Nashville, Tennessee. See ya.
Will, how you doing?
What's up, y'all? How
What's
are
up?
you?
You doing all right?
Well, I mean, I'd be doing a little bit better if I were there, but under the circumstances, I'm glad we can do this via Zoom.
Yeah, man.
How you doing?
Man, guys, I'm excited to talk to y'all. I spent some time on your website this morning, and I'm fascinated with what I read about with your commitment to mental health and so forth. And I'm super thrilled to have this opportunity. So thank you.
Yeah, appreciate you thinking of us, man.
Yeah, man.
No doubt about it. Absolutely. Will you guys just take 30 seconds to just introduce yourselves?
Yeah, sure thing. Wilson Brannick, managing partner here at NoCo. Been in the industry for 10 plus years now and worked up my way up from the ranks from bar back to here I am today. So
Yeah.
here we are.
John Murray, one of the partners, founders of NoCo. Been in the business for just short of 20 years and started as a dishwasher, and here I am today.
Oh man, love it, guys. Okay, well, I want to read something. I printed this and I want to read it. It's off your website because I want to start the conversation talking about this stuff. I found this to be exciting and super interesting. And I'm just so curious about this focus. So on your site, it says, while paving the path for unique wood-fired cuisine, the NoCo team aims to be an agent of change for the hospitality industry in Nashville and beyond through an emphasis on mental health and an extensive employee betterment program featuring 4-day work weeks, a yearly travel stipend, access to an online therapist, a paid gym slash yoga membership, health insurance, and more. Wow, that's awesome. Let's dive into that and let's talk about that and why y'all think that's so important, because I completely agree, and that really struck me.
I think the restaurant business, and I'm not speaking in absolutes because there's a ton of amazing companies out there that take care of their employees at a high level. So I'm not saying that like we're some kind of unicorn. But with Wilson and I both being in the business as long as we have, we work for a lot of companies. The company we most recently came from is hands down the best company we've ever worked for. And a lot of those things that we offer, they already offer.
Is that Indigo Road?
That is Indigo Road. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I want to get into that soon too. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I was with them for just shy of 11 years. And Wilson, I think
just shy of seven.
So, we're in the business of taking care of people. I mean, that's what hospitality is taking care of people. And I feel like for so long, we haven't taken care of ourselves. And to truly take care of guests that walk in our building, we have to take care of ourselves. And so those things like, you know, we have 2 weeks of paid vacation every year. We don't pay minimum wage. We take a sum of their average tips if they're a tipped employee, or the sum of their hours worked if they're not a non-tipped employee, and we pay them that. We offer health, dental, and vision. While we don't cover 100% of that, I mean, eventually one day, I think that's something we'd like to do. But right now, as a first-time restaurant that's, you know, doesn't have a proven track record conceptually, I felt like that was a large ask. Mm-hmm. We pay 100% of the insurance for our employees to have access to therapy online. And it's not, you can see the same person over and over and over again, as many times as you want. So you can build a meaningful relationship. A therapy is a part of my journey. And without it, I wouldn't be here today. I feel firm in that statement. Gym memberships, well, it seems small. I mean, it's something that, you know, like I said, if we're going to take care of our guests, we've got to take care of ourselves too. Right. And yeah. We can't force our people to go to the gym, nor would we ever force our people to go to the gym, but it's there as an outlet to take care of themselves. At the end of the day, I mean, a lot of these things that we offer, other industries offer, and for some reason, restaurants, I don't know if why we haven't necessarily caught up to it, but it's something that we feel like every employee should receive.
Mm. Did you, so y'all both worked for Steve Ballmer at Indigo Road?
Yeah.
I have his book. I've had him on the podcast before. I love what the work that he and the guys at Ben's Friends have done. The industry has, you touched on this, John. I mean, for a long time, it's sort of been a work hard, play hard culture, which I guess serves some purpose in creating a sense of family or bonding, but it certainly led to a lot of tragic ends and, you know, tough results for people. I feel like the industry is starting to move in the right direction, but slowly. I mean, you guys are on the, you're ahead of the curve, I think. I love seeing that you have that focus. It seems, especially given that, I mean, just as hard as it's been through COVID in the last couple of years to just attract and keep good people, I feel like the industry has no choice but to do this. Otherwise, you know, because like you said, the rest of almost every other industry, this is, you know, mental health is a big deal. And everybody recognizes that in our society now and in our culture. So you guys clearly have recognized that. So I just can't applaud you enough for what you're doing. I think that you'll, building a culture like that, from what I've seen, 450 some odd episodes into doing this podcast, building a strong culture where it's very clear to the employees, the owners, and, you know, management group truly cares about them. That's it. Like that to me has been the common thread for the recipe for success, which clearly y'all saw and lived under at Indigo Road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we talk about it all the time in every single interview. There is nothing more important than our culture, and we will do everything in our power to protect it. There's a level of accountability. I mean, there's a level of grace too, right? One of our values is forgiveness. I mean, yeah. I'm human. I make mistakes on a regular basis. Wilson's human. He makes mistakes on a regular basis. And so we give people the grace and space to make those, you know, make those mistakes. But our people are number one. At the end of the day, our mission statement has nothing to do with guests. It's 100% focused on our people, because they're the ones that take care of our guests. And if we don't take care of them, they're not going to take care of our guests.
Yeah, it's our highest duty as leaders to be protectors of the culture. If there's one thing we have to do, it's that.
Be protectors of the culture. Well, the guests get taken care of as a byproduct, is what you're saying, of you taking 100%. Care of yourselves and your team.
100%.
So tell me about why Nashville. You guys have lived in several places. What was it about Nashville?
Well, man, this space kind of just fell in our lap. We were knocking on doors in Charleston, knocking on doors here in Nashville. We were talking to a restaurant broker, and he passed along this space here to us, and John walked it, and it felt right. The East Nashville neighborhood has been nothing but great to us. It's a fantastic space. It's in it's nestled in a little neighborhood, and we couldn't be happier to be here. But we kind of had feelers out for Charleston and Nashville, and the way the universe works, we ended up here in East Nashville.
I read that, Wilson, that you do some surfing and fishing.
Yeah, man.
Not as easy.
Yeah, now I'm landlocked, so I don't get to do much of that now, but the fishing here is good, so can't complain.
I hear you. Well, you know, so it's interesting, the gym membership piece, the activities that you guys talk about. I know John, it mentions that you do a lot of running and jogging and so forth. I mean, to me, that those things go hand in hand, don't they? I mean, the physical exertion and out getting outside, getting fresh air, doing things that are rigorous, that for me at least, that's been a big part of my mental health journey. Is like it's had a huge impact. When I take care of myself physically, the mental health benefits are pretty significant.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, restaurant, you're on your feet. Restaurant work's not easy work. I say this all the time. And sometimes, if I'm being quite honest, I have to remind myself of it. Like one of my good friends reminded me of it shortly into the opening, that to take care of our people, we have to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the truth. And sometimes it's, you know, if I'm being honest, when you get into, I mean, this restaurant opening has been unlike any other restaurant opening I've had that I've done in the past, in the sense of, like, you know, I always say that when you open a restaurant, it's either, you know, you strike gold or it's lightning in a bottle, but usually in my experience, it's a slow build or a gradual build, right? You kind of, word starts to get out, people start talking about you, you get busier and busier as the months go on. But I mean, dude, since we've opened, it's just been like 5 o'clock, flat seat the restaurant 80% of the time, by 5:45, 6 o'clock at the absolute latest, every single day of the week, the entire restaurant's full. And when that happens, you know, you're just, we call every guest the next day, personally thank them for being here. Wilson and I do that.
That's awesome.
It's, you know, it's easy to forget when you're that busy to take care of yourself. Like, it really is. And you know, maybe these things that we're doing cost money, right? And it's, you know, like, for example, 1% of our sales goes back to every employee in the form of a travel stipend. And we've never done any of these things for a hiring boy. That's never been the thought process of it. Are we completely staffed? 100%. Did we think we would be completely staffed? No, not at all. Just considering the environment that we're in.
Yeah.
But, you know, someone was like, oh, you're doing that for a tax write-off. I was like, I'd never once ever thought that we could do that as a tax write-off. You know, this is just things for our people. Like, so that 1% at the end of every year, we calculate by hours. And then on one of those vacations, we help pay for their vacation. I mean, I can clearly remember when I served, it was like, okay, I need to take a week off to go to a friend's wedding or whatever it may be. So not only did I sacrifice, you know, a week of work, but, you know, I also had to sacrifice and save money up to do what I wanted to do. So we're trying to, like, help alleviate some of that financial burden that people have to bear.
Why do you think it was so, in your experience, that it's typically been a slow burn and you guys have just been hot from the get-go? What happened? What's going on?
Social media is powerful. I mean, we've known how powerful it is, and it's just been nonstop. I mean, it's been part of our, like, our marketing, you know, strategy is to focus on social, but we never knew how impactful it was going to be. And there's a young lady here in town that runs a Instagram called Where to Eat Nashville. And she came in, we did a media dinner before we opened. Like, we had people come in and preview and taste the food, and she got invited. And she posted this video on Instagram, and like a week and a half later, there were 250,000 views. And before you know it, like, Wilson and I were looking at the reservation sheets and going, dude, we're booked a month in advance.
Mm.
And it's in other, and it's not just her. I mean, we've had so many influencers come in, you know, that have dinner with us, and they've had a great experience, or at least they're saying they've had a great experience. And it's just been like wildfire. I mean, we're, you know, there's a part of it where the honeymoon phase, when you open a restaurant, usually you're the new thing and you're busy. Well, we're almost 2 months old and we're still like, I mean, I get messages in Instagram and email all the time. Like, we can't get a reservation until the end of June or the middle of June. And honestly, as much as we like that, we're in the business of finding the yes. And it's hard to find the yes when you're that booked in advance. So I don't want to say lucky. And there was some strategy behind it, but I don't think we ever anticipated that it would be what it is.
Well, probably when those influencers come in, when there's one that's got a lot of reach, then the other ones see that and they want to be a part of that too. You know, but social media is good to get people coming in, clearly. And then your job, of course, is do we give them a great experience so they want to just keep coming back? Right. And, you know, clearly you guys must have figured, I mean, so far so good. The fact that you're calling people would go hand in hand with that. That's a heck of an undertaking. I bet that has a massive impression on people that have dined at your restaurant the night before, because that's not what they're expecting.
Yeah. I mean, it's also a great way to find out where maybe we had some misses, you know, because people are very honest and transparent, and feedback is what we thrive off of. But at the end of the day, Wilson and I don't sign paychecks. We don't. Or our chef, the guests sign the paychecks. Mm. And so if it wasn't for them, like, we wouldn't be in business. And so it is our obligation to thank them for being here.
Wow. That's awesome. I've got to imagine you catch people by surprise. Like,
100%.
All the time.
Yeah. I mean, I love that so much. I think it would surprise the heck out of me if I went to a restaurant and the owner, you know, called me the next day.
Yeah. It's also funny to, and this is kind of probably not really pertinent, but how many people don't have a voicemail box set up, or how many people's voicemail box are full?
Check your mailboxes, people.
Check your mailboxes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What do you do when they're full?
It's at the point where I think, you know, and Wilson and I divide the task, right? Because we're finally at the point where we're like getting half days. We come in and then we get out of here around 4 or 5 o'clock. And like, you know, grateful Wilson gave me the last 2 days a half day because I wasn't feeling that great. And Wilson's got one today. So, I mean, it's about an hour and a half task every single day. And it's
something we want to do going forward, whether we have one store or five, or who knows what the future holds.
Yeah.
It's something we want to ingrain in our everyday tasks.
Yeah.
Huge, huge thing. Now you're right. I have this is my phone. So I don't do a lot of texts. I do a lot of phone calls, and I still leave, like, I'll leave voicemails for my friends. They're like, why do you do that? I'm like, because you have one. I don't know. Right. They're like, well, we don't, you know, I don't listen to it. I just see that you call. It's just a weird thing to me. I still am like, I don't know, just old and old school, I guess. But I think that's huge, guys. That's what a great commitment. to doing that, it will always leave an impression. Do you know the story of the, I've talked about this before on the podcast, but it's the story of the girl at the beach throwing starfish back in the ocean. Do y'all know that story?
No, I don't know that one. No.
It's such a great metaphor. So there's this young lady and she's on the beach. Imagine her down there at like Isle of Palms, and she's picking up starfish and throwing them back in because the tide has gone out, you know, and they're laying there in the sand drying up. And this man's walking along. He's like, hi, young lady. I see you throwing those starfish back in. You know, why are you doing that? She's like, well, I don't want them to die, you know? And so I'm just tossing them back in the ocean. He's like, well, yeah, but I can see for, you know, a mile down the beach, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of starfish. And what you're doing just isn't going to make a difference. She looks at him and she throws one in the water, looks back at him. She goes, it made a difference to that one. And wow. I always love that because it's the idea that just, you know, like each of those phone calls makes such a big difference to that guest. It's surprising. It is beyond, you know, it's not what they're expecting. It gives them a chance to, if you catch them, to share their experience, good, bad, whatever, shows that you care. And man, and y'all know this, I know. I mean, they like stop for a minute. They're like, wow, that was freaking cool. And then they go tell all their friends, like, can you believe this? Like, what a great thing to do. Like, I tip my hat. I think that's such a wise business practice, and it just will lead to, makes a difference, you know, to each of those people. So you're fully staffed. How have you been able to get, like, I guess part of it's because you clearly care about the staff and you advertise that and you make that clear. But I mean, how are you able to attract so many good people to come work for a new place? I would imagine there's a lot of places in Nashville to work in the restaurant industry.
I think a lot of it has to do with word of mouth, and also our interview process. We have a very, I don't know if intimate's the word, but a very intimate interview process where we meet with people two, sometimes three times. I think one person we actually met with four times. You know, the first interview is kind of, you know, just testing the waters. You know, we talk about some of the hard facts about the restaurant. And that second and third interview is just a conversation. We're more so getting to know people, you know, as human beings. Bottom line is we want to work with good people. And the employees, our teammates, they're taking a bigger risk on us than we are on them. We're one store. I mean, we do have, you know, John's worked in the industry for over 20 years, me 10. But this is our first one on our own. So they're taking a way bigger risk than us. So just being human with them, letting them know that, I think throughout all of our interviews, and we've done a ton of interviews, that we've been able to find good people.
Yeah, I mean, why? I'm not 100% sure why. I mean, there's 100, if not 1,000 great restaurants in Nashville that people could work. And we all know that every restaurant's hiring. But we also, none of us really care about your resume, right? We interviewed a person at the very beginning when the restaurant was under construction, and all of us kind of had, you know, a question mark, not about the person as like a person, but like capabilities. And where my mind immediately went and said, okay, well, did they have the right leadership? A lot of these people may have not excelled in their last job because there was no leadership. So what are they going to get leadership here that they've never received in the past? And so, I mean, listen, I'll be honest with you. We have a guy that we hired in the kitchen that never once in his life ever worked in a professional kitchen. And the reason we hired him is because we thought he was an outstanding human. And he is absolutely crushing it. He is working our grill now. Not even two, we're turning 2 months old in a week. Mm-hmm. And he is working the grill on a Friday and Saturday night, never worked in a professional kitchen. We've got 19-year-olds. We've got 24-year-olds. I mean, at the end of the day, like Wilson said, our interview process, the first interview is primarily about work, right? We ask you the work questions. What's a personal goal? What's a professional goal? Why do you think empathy and compassion are so powerful in the workplace? things of that nature. In the second interview, 99% of it has nothing to do with work at all. Tell me about your brother, your sister. How are your parents? How's your relationship with them? You know, what's something impactful that's happened in your life that has helped shape who you are today? And through those questions, we feel like, and we're not perfect, but we feel like we're helping ourselves identify the right people, because at the end of the day, the right person can learn.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that's amazing, particularly in the kitchen. I mean, I've heard people that haven't served before and things like that, but in the kitchen, that's fantastic. What do you guys, tell me more about, it's got to be hard with as busy as you've been to find that balance for yourself. So you're giving yourself half days. What do y'all do? Like when you're not there at the restaurant, how do you spend your time taking care of yourselves?
Oh, man. I'll be honest with you. Well, I've skipped a couple gym sessions, but spend time at the gym, catching up on laundry. The weather is a whole lot better here now. I think we finally got that cold snap here in Tennessee, so going to spend some more time outdoors, probably do some fishing. Since I moved back, I've been able to go home to Atlanta at least 3 times now, just for a quick day trip, see friends and family, go dine out. Now being 4 hours away from home helps. But yeah, that's how I've been spending my days off.
Yeah. I'll tell you, my first day off, I didn't leave the bed. I think I've DoorDashed like once or twice. I DoorDashed. My girlfriend and I literally just binged on movies. But like yesterday, half day, I mean, I went and walked 4 miles, came home. You know, we're at that point where we're starting to figure out what that balance looks like outside of work. Like I've got a trip to Japan. Wilson's got a trip to Hawaii.
Ooh,
we're getting to a point where it's like we're starting to find a rhythm. And we're starting to figure out what that balance looks like. We knew for the first 90 days that there wasn't going to be much balance.
Yeah.
This isn't the first time we've done this. So we're slowly figuring it out, man. But there's I don't want to say light at the end of the tunnel, because Wilson and I aren't burnt out. Like I think we're more on fire to be here than we've ever been anywhere else in our careers.
Yeah, John's probably gonna have to kick me out of the building today.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great, guys.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So work trip to Japan? Is it where you go?
No, I'm turning 40 next month. And so I've never been to Japan. I've wanted to go. COVID kind of threw a wrench in that. And so going for 10 days to just kind of soak in the culture, eat the food and disengage. Yeah.
Oh man, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
We want John to disengage, and I'm sure we'll get a text like, hey, we got to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's going to come at some weird hours.
Yeah. Right. 4 in the morning. What's John doing?
Do you have investors, or did y'all fund this yourselves?
We have a financial partner, hands down, the most understanding, trusting person. He's been in business for a long time, super successful in his industry and outside of his industry. And I've known him for about 15 years, and he's just like, he's been very hands-off in a good sense. Just he's trusting us that we know what we're doing, and couldn't be more grateful for him. Yeah, Wilson and I didn't have the funding to do this.
Well, that's great. It's so good that you have, first of all, one partner, because that can get hairy when you've got multiples and people have different, you know, they think they have a time frame and that changes, it's all that stuff. So that's great. And then to have somebody that is in it for the long and trust y'all and isn't breathing down your neck, it's got to be nice to, you know, be able to have that financial security, but have the long path ahead to make it rewarding for everybody. So
that's couldn't be more grateful.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I think I read, John, that you do some reading. Do you read a lot?
Not right now.
I'm a
big reader. I was actually laying in bed last night, and kind of a guilty pleasure of mine is this damn Tetris game I have. And my girlfriend was like, you need to start reading again. You're playing that game too much. So like I get home, I'm wiped, and I just lay in bed and play Tetris. It's like I got my Game Boy in hand, like I'm back in the day. But yeah, I love to read, and I find a great value in it and comfort and pleasure. But haven't done a bunch in the last 3 months.
Fiction or nonfiction or both?
I'm not a big fiction person.
Okay.
And I'm not like a self-help person, but I like real experience from people. I like to gather like knowledge. It'd be kind of like, I wish when I was younger, I listened to my parents more, right? Yeah. When they gave me advice.
Yeah.
But I didn't. And so, you know, it's a lot of thing. Like one of the more recent books that I read, Wilson read it too, is called the Happiness Advantage. Harvard instructor that like for the last 15 years he's scientifically studied happiness, and so it's just things of like how to just be a better person in general. You know, like from David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me Now to, you know, I'm all over the place, to be honest with you.
I
bought a book called As a Man Thinketh the other day. I've already read it, so I guess I have read, but it's a short read. Just it's more about like I believe that we create our reality. And that nothing is by happenstance. And so anything that can help meld and shape my mind to better prepare for, you know, the twists and curves that come in life, the better.
We create our reality. Reality is neutral, and we manifest that reality. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big Goggins fan. I send that stuff to my boy. I have three kids. I send Goggins stuff, little like Instagram videos to my boys a lot.
He's psycho, but like,
yeah, he's way on top. I mean, it's, you know, it's like he's the extreme. So if you can just like get the mentality at like 50% of where he is, like you're probably, you know, doing all right. Yeah, that's cool. Good. Yeah. You know, do you know who Rick Rubin is?
Oh, Rick Rubin. 100%. Yeah.
He just wrote a book I heard is really, really good. I heard it. He was on a podcast. I was listening to a talk about it. And anyway, you may want to check that. Like it just came out within the last month or two. I've heard a lot of really good things about it.
Pulled up on Amazon right now.
Yeah, I mean, he talks a lot about, at least in the podcast, I mean, he talks a lot about just, you know, trusting your instincts and listening to your gut. And you guys clearly have done that, you know, when you start, anybody that starts a restaurant has to, because there's so many variables and things that you just can't, you know, you can build a business plan, but there's just so much that goes into it. A lot of it's instinct, understanding the concept, the you know, what's going to be on the menu, all that stuff. But Ruben talks about how when he's, you know, when he's listened to his gut, things have gone well. And when he hasn't, you know, that's when you know, he makes mistakes. But well, guys, I want to respect your time. I want you to get back to Wilson if you'll take your half day, do it, get out of there. Go enjoy it, man. Go get some, hopefully, is it nice there like it is here today? It's nice.
Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful day for sure.
Yeah, man. Go get some of that fresh air, get yourself moving. But I appreciate y'all taking the time. I appreciate your story. I appreciate what you're doing so much. And I think that it's so incredibly important. I get so excited when I see people that are in it for something bigger than just, you know, making money. I mean, you guys are in this to build a community of and a team of people that will be better off for being there. And, you know, your guests will all benefit from that. And I just really appreciate the thought and intention and care and love for what you do that is very clear. You know, when I was reading, preparing for this and then talking to you guys. So I wish you all the success, and I can't wait to stay in touch, and I will definitely be getting to Nashville. And when I do, I will definitely be coming and hanging out with you for sure.
Hit us up, man. We'd love to have you.
Yeah. We'd love to have you, man.
All right, fellas. Appreciate y'all very much. Take care of yourselves. And thank you again. All right.
Yeah. Have a great one. Appreciate it.
All right, brother.